You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Jaguar fans? It's your man Tony Wiggins here with another edition of Locked On Jaguars on a Monday. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. What I'm going to talk about today is the consequences of passing up playmakers just because you think you have enough. We'll discuss that here in the first segment. Bleed that over into the second segment. And then my man Joe Marino of the Draft Network has put out a top 100 as some of these pro days and most of the pro days have ended. What I'm going to do is another exercise. And it really doesn't make sense. And some of y'all might think it's irrelevant. What I'm going to go through and do is the player that is currently sitting at the numbered position where the Jacksonville Jaguars have a draft choice. I'm going to tell you who that player is. Now, if it's a redundant position to a player that has been picked already or that is assigned to the number, an earlier number, I'll pick a player within five picks below that. So if you get to 25 and let's just say that there's a quarterback there, I won't choose another quarterback. What I'll do is just go within the next five picks and pick the pick that makes the most sense for Jacksonville. We'll just have fun with it. So we'll just use Joe Marino, who does an outstanding job with the Draft Network, and we'll use his board, and we'll just take the player who's at the number where the Jaguars currently hold the pick. So this is going to cover five picks because he did a top 100, and their sixth pick is 106. We'll do that. And then we'll kind of shake this up and round this all up and just have a nice conversation on this Monday. So let's not bury the lead. Let's get back to it. What made me think about this subject of the consequences of passing up playmakers just because you think you have enough at that position, it, just like the exercise we're going to do later, it does not include the quarterback position. And the reason why is because you can only play one of those guys at a time. It's not like pitching in baseball, and you have to make such a commitment to a quarterback to the point where everything is built and catered around that one player. The other player who his backup is, that while that's an important position, the team is pretty much built and catered around the lead guy. He takes all the reps, and everything is catered around him and built around him. So there is no sharing that, and there is no building that to the point where you think about other people. But these other positions are interchangeable. You use multiple players. You spread the wealth around at all of the other positions on the depth chart. So that's why it's very, very important to me that you can't pass up great players. So when we're looking at a lot of these mocks and we're looking at a lot of how you put players on your board and who do you pick, there's so many people that when you do a mock, man, you get destroyed for it because folks will go, I wouldn't take X player at that spot because, one, there are too many holes. And I talked about this on a podcast last week. Every time someone tells you that, I want you to tell them, find them. And that doesn't mean, I want to be very clear, that does not mean I think that the Jaguars roster is so good that they don't have any holes on the team per se in terms of where you can't improve the roster or the players on the roster is that good or are that good that you shouldn't draft another player at their position. That's not my position. My position is who have they committed themselves to at this point during those guys' careers. If it's a young player like Kalyvon Chaisson or Josh Allen, it's not that there aren't better players out there than those guys. It's just that those guys, to a certain degree, have a level of commitment from the franchise. Josh Allen certainly does. So, C.J. Henderson has a level of commitment from this franchise. And even the guys they brought in free agency, Shaquille has a commitment. The corner, Shaquille Griffin, he has a commitment Doesn't mean he's the best cornerback in the league. Doesn't mean he's Jalen Ramsey. But they have given a level of commitment to him that he is a starter, a bona fide starter for this football team. The financial commitment alone says that. Miles Jack, he is one of the best players in the league at his position, so he damn sure has a commitment. But a lot of the other guys that they've brought in, and the reason why this is important, because this is not college where you have 85 scholarships. They have roster limitations in the NFL. When you commit to guys, you just can't commit to them and give them money and bonus money and then turn around and cut them and screw your salary cap up because you have to pay the guy who you replace them with. Therefore, monetarily, as well as from a roster limitation standpoint, once teams make commitments to guys, that's who they're committed to. So when I say find the room, that's what I mean. It does not mean that I think the roster, the team was 1-15. I don't think that, like, talent-wise, they're one of the – I don't think the Jaguars are in the top half of the NFL in talent. I don't. You can't be 1-15 at 13 free agents, non-Pro Bowl-type free agents, and then declare yourself to be one of the 16 most talented teams in the league. That's just not reality. And the reality is they're not there. But when it comes to, when it comes to us talking about them adding players and playmakers, so many people will tell you, don't invest in a running back. Don't invest in, even if he has speed, don't invest in another wide receiver. We have all of these guys. We need a tight end. We need this. So I keep asking folks, go through the roster and show me where, if you want to keep talking about positional need, tell me. They have 10 draft picks. They have five of them within the top 65. They're going to get a quarterback. They're going to get a tight end at some point. Now, show me where these glaring needs. Oh, you want to talk about a safety? Okay, they might need a safety, in your opinion. They may not think so based on the way that they're signing people. So you go show me where. Where do they have all of these needs that are so glaring that you can pass up a playmaker? And I'm going to tell you why I think it's important that you grab as many playmakers as you can. I want to start this conversation, but I'm going to get into it just a little bit here before we pause for the cause, just to give you a taste of what I'm talking about. I'm going to be blunt. If you don't take him, you got to stop him. It's easy to sit here and think that if you don't take Rondale Moore, or you don't take Kadarius Toney, or if you don't take ATN, that somehow they're going to end up in San Francisco, Seattle, or they're going to end up in Minnesota and you don't have to deal with it. Wrong. Wrong. They might end up in your division. And when they're running up and down the field on you, catching touchdowns, you're going to shoulda, woulda, coulda yourself to death. Even if your guys are productive on the other side of the ball, unless you're a dynasty winning Super Bowls, I'm going to get all over you and say you should have took him too. Because if you're not winning Super Bowls, just imagine had you taken him and combined it with your guys that are also balling out. That's how you become great. You put them on the field together and you let them figure, why on earth are so many people so concerned about those guys' playing time and about those guys' stats? Put them all in the room. This team has been devoid of Pro Bowlers and alpha dogs for so long, I wouldn't give a damn if the seventh wide receiver was a Pro Bowl caliber player. Let them figure that out. That's not your problem. Haven't y'all lost enough that y'all sick of this? Let the coaches and let the players figure that foolishness out. That's what happened when Andre Rison was here. They had Keenan McCardell, they had Andre Rison, and you know what? Rison started making a stink. And he was the best player, but guess what? They saw what they had in Jimmy, and they said, you know what? It's time. This dude is good enough. Get Andre out of here. And what happened? That's exactly what happened. Sometimes we can learn from our past. They had Fred Taylor. They went and got Maurice Jones-Drew. And Fred wasn't done by any stretch of the imagination. We can learn from the past. We can learn from the fact that when they were good, they did certain things. And I know guys say the league has changed. Okay, the league has changed. Look at the very successful teams. And I know it was a different situation, but the Browns already had Nick Chubb. And what did they do? They got Kareem Hunt. So you know what happens when Chubb takes a blow or he misses a week because he strained something? They put Kareem Hunt in and they don't lose anything except the depth, because now they don't have Kareem Hunt backing up Kareem Hunt the way Nick Chubb they have when they have Kareem Hunt backing up Nick Chubb. But you think you're going to get a blow when Nick Chubb goes out of the game and all of a sudden Kareem Hunt, who is a 1,300-yard rusher, comes in and he's catching the ball and running over your defense too. So when I hear people say don't get another running back, okay, but what if you got to play Cleveland in the first round and you got James Robinson and they got those two? You see my point? You understand it now? All right, so we'll talk about more of this on the other side here on a Monday edition of, I think it's the greatest podcast ever, only because, not me, not because of me, but I think it's that way because of you, the listener. You guys make this so easy and you make it so good to be here every single time. And I'm happy to serve you here on your daily podcast because it's your team every day here on Locked On Jaguars. And I love bringing you this heat, man. I also love telling you about betonline.ag because that's I love to see people get money. I love to see people prospering. I won me some money during the Super Bowl. And a lot of my listeners, a lot of the listeners on here tell me, man, that's the best site to go to. It's the only site to go to because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over for right now. The NBA is going. There's one more college basketball game. Ooh, and the women's game was something else last night, too. Shout out to Stanford and Arizona for playing a great game. And NHL is in full swing, too, and BetOnline even covers awards and TV shows. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to access the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All right, man, we're back here raising Cane on a Monday. I got to tell you about Locked On Today that can be found on the Odyssey app. That's where you get your podcast on the Odyssey app. Locked On Today is a show by my friend Peter Bukowski, who hosts Locked On Packers. But he hosts Locked On Today, man, and he gives you the stories in about 20 minutes like a shot of espresso every morning. And he uses local experts to talk about all of the stories from around the sports, around the world of sports. And he gives it to you fast, quick, fast, in a hurry. The information comes in and hits your veins, man. Like nitrous, I'm telling you, and get you going throughout the day. So Locked On Today is the show, and it is a podcast that is on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Listen, man, when you're 1-15, you don't turn down playmakers, especially when you don't have glaring needs and glaring holes on your team. This Jaguars staff under Urban Meyer has spent the most of free agency building infrastructure, working on the defense, filling up holes on special teams, doing all of those things that aren't sexy and don't show up on the stat sheet. They did sign Marvin Jones. They did get depth with Carlos Hyde, a running back that knows how Urban wants to play, that understands Darrell Bevell and how he wants to move offensively and can provide depth at running back, toughness, veteran leadership, both of those guys can, as well as pass protection on defense and a bona fide NFL running back and a bona fide professional pass catcher on offense. However, most of the free agent capital was really spent on infrastructure. So folks are really wondering, where's the speed and where's the explosiveness? And where's the dynamic? You know, we see Urban Meyer coaching at Ohio State. In Florida, he's used to playmakers and guys running all over the field. But the mere suggestion, it seems, of getting fast players and playmakers on this football team is usually met with people going, we have other holes. And I keep asking those folks, where are the other holes? And they say, well, maybe the offensive line. I thought the offensive line had massive holes before they started ironing and mapping it out what the job was going to be about and who they were going to get. I thought they would need two or three starters. They apparently are in love with the guys on the offensive line, just like the previous regime was, and there's not going to be as much change, and there's not going to be as much newness to that as you think. They may get one guy in here, one, that may push or challenge some of these guys. They may in turn end up getting developmental guys that down the road could possibly become starters on the offensive line. But it just doesn't seem like what they're really, really trying to do is move those guys out. They're trying to continue to develop those guys. They retained the offensive line coach, George Warhop. And generally, when you retain a guy, it means you think he's done a good job. And when you think he's done a good job, you keep the people that he's done a good job with, right? So that lends some credence to the point that he probably goes in and he stands on the table and bangs on the table for the guys that allowed him to be retained and keep his job. You don't evaluate something and think it was good and then go in and get rid of the people that made it appear good to you in the first place. Because you thought the offensive line was bad, you probably would have fired the coach and changed the players. Evidence that they think is good is because they said it and because they retained the coach. I thought they would keep Keenan McCardell, but they had other things in mind. So that being said, with that being said, the thought that people believe that what they have is enough, even if you think that, even if you think that, and you may, and the people that think that, the media as well as the fans, may know these players better than the coaching staff because they haven't been around them, haven't seen them. They admittedly haven't had very many conversations with them at this point because obviously because they aren't allowed to, and these guys are kind of like doing their own thing at this point. They won't see them until minicamp after the draft. So your opinion of these players is probably higher than the ones that the coaching staff has, right? That proves my point even further that these guys may go get their own people to come in here and push the receiving corps, to push the running backs. When you have a staff that is full of college guys that just saw all of these skill position players running up and down the field for the last 2 or 3 years, they want some of that, man. That's what they're going to do because they realize if they don't draft them, somebody else will. And that somebody might be teams that you have to get through, not only in your own division, not only in your own division, but you might have to get through them just in the league, period. You don't want to take Rondale Moore at 25 because you think he's hurt all the time and banged up? Fine. He goes to the Indianapolis Colts and teams up with that running back that they got from Wisconsin last year, and he's running up and down the field, breaking tackles and making your cornerbacks and your DBs look silly. What are you going to say then? We should have drafted Rondale Moore. And I know I'm being facetious here, but we should have drafted, because people do that to me. I sound like that sometimes. In fact, the next time I'm wrong, I want y'all to do that voice. We should have sounded, you shouldn't have drafted. That's what y'all going to do to me, because that's exactly what you sound like. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not picking at your opinion. I'm picking at your reasoning for the opinion. We forget, just because the Jaguars don't draft a guy doesn't mean he just like disappears and goes in and out of space. When you don't pick him, he goes to your opponents. And nobody goes to the game and watches. Well, I know some people that go to the game and watch offensive linemen. I don't. I go to the game and watch those guys that can play in space and break people's ankles and run for the first down marker and get open and shake and bake and score touchdowns. Everybody's become a little GM, man, lately, man, and wants to do – and I'm proud of Jaguar fans now for thinking that way, for wanting to be conservative and wanting to say, no, build a roster, let's just do it this way and keep up with, you know, and we have guys here. All of y'all that say that stuff, man, y'all need to blow Dave Caldwell a kiss. Because y'all – folks swear up and down that we don't really need that many skill position players. Tell Dave thank you then for building this team so good that all we need to do is just add to the holes of the infrastructure and not actually get any actual playmakers on this football team. Because for a guy who you guys wanted to run out of here so bad, boy, he must have really filled this roster up with a bunch of superstar touchdown makers at these skill position spots, because you guys sure don't want any. You know? Joe Marino did, of the Draft Network, did a top 100. Third segment is coming up. Trevor Lawrence is number one on his board, and he's going to be the number one pick for the Jaguars, and he's also the number one player that we're going to put here in this spot because that's where he belongs. He doesn't belong anywhere else, and he won't be anywhere else. So that's the easiest segue to this last segment that we're going to do here on a Monday. It's Locked On Jaguars. It's Tony Wiggins, and we'll be coming right at you in just a second. After I tell you guys about Built Bar, the greatest tasting protein bar in the world, on the market, it is Built Bar, and you got to get them at BuiltBar.com. Look it up, man. That marshmallow Built Bar that's covered with 100% chocolate was awarded the champion. A lot of people got ticked off about that don't like marshmallow in our network, but that's all right. My brand came in like it beat mine down. I love the salted caramel. I really like the peanut butter crunch too. I actually don't have one that I don't like because they're so delicious. And you'll like them too. You also like the fact that you'll get 15% off by using the promo code LOCK15 when you go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter and order your Built Bars. They're packed with protein, packed with fiber, low carbs, low sugar, and low calories. So even though you're eating them and it tastes like you're absolutely destroying your diet, you're actually not. You really, really aren't. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get that Built Bar in your life, man. I'm telling you, you will not regret it, and you'll thank me for it. Just don't tell me what you ordered because I might knock on your door and come ask for some. All right, we're about to go on over the draft here with the usage of the big board, the top 100 from Joe Marino of the Draft Network. A couple of other guys that are on the Draft Network have a great podcast called Draft Dudes, Locked On NFL Draft, and it can be found on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. That would be Travis Akima and Benjamin Solak, and they'll give you the latest positional rankings and analysis on all the players in the 2021 draft for your favorite team. It's the Jaguars, of course, if you're listening to this podcast. So check them out and follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, Draft Dudes, on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Joe Marino did his thing on his top 100, and I'm just letting you guys know right now, that Trevor Lawrence is the number one player on his board, right? Trevor Lawrence is the number one player on the big board for my man, Joe Marino. So that's easy work right there. And we're going to get to these other spots here in just 1 second. You guys are going to like the 25th pick too. The Jaguars have the 25th pick. And I told you guys what I'm going to do here. What I'm going to do here is actually go with the player in that spot as long as it's not redundant. Like if we got to this spot and it was actually another quarterback, I would not put that quarterback down. Landon Dickerson is his 25th pick. I like Landon Dickerson a lot. I like his versatility. Some people think he is more of a center than a guard. I like him at guard too because he was actually a tackle at Florida State and they were screwing him around, moving him all over the place. So I like Landon Dickerson in that spot at number 25. Doesn't mean that's where he's going to get picked. Of course, this is not a predictive board. This is just a big board. And a big board helps you determine value for these players. So at 33, you guys are going to really like how this falls. At 33, and he's not doing this now with teams in mind. These are just his picks and his rankings. How about Kadarius Toney? Woo, that really lines up really well, doesn't it? In terms of value, Kadarius Toney is the 33rd player on Joe Marino's big board rankings. Two more picks here for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Elijah Molden, a cornerback from Washington, is the 45th pick on the big board for Joe Marino. It's not too bad, especially if he can play a little nickel. There's a guy right below him now named Javon Holland, who's a pretty good player. Jason Owe, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, is a few picks under him, and so is Creed Humphrey. So there's a couple of players under that. Asante Samuel is six picks behind that. Liam Eichenberg, maybe a developmental tackle. So there's some real good players. Yes, Sam Cosmi at 55, too. There's just going to be some players on that board. Listen at 56. Christian Barmore is 56 on his board. There's going to be tremendous value, I believe, if this board holds true. Also, Richie Grant is at 57. Joseph Asai. These are all guys that people have been chronicling and doing actual work, thinking that these guys may be around for Jacksonville. So, at 65, where the Jags actually pick. Now, this is what I think. I think if that group that I just mentioned is sitting there, the Jags may come back up into the second round and use some draft capital to come back up into the second round, because the group that they're in now I don't think is as good, although on the board still is Brevin Jordan, the tight end everyone says that the Jaguar needs so bad. He's there. But at 65, Davion Nixon, interior defensive lineman from Houston, from Iowa, is a guy that Joe Marino has listed. So what I'm going to do is let me go down to the bottom and get close to that 100 area and see if there's someone that interests me to the point where the Jaguars would probably 93, number 93, Ben Cleveland. Of course, I think they need to come up and get 91. The Jaguars are at 106, so they'd have to give up some stuff to get back up to that point. But, yeah, if this board works out this way, I'm going to go back between and look at the players between 33 and 45, too. Look at the players between 33 and 45 on this board. Okay, Kadarius Toney's 33. You got Jalen Mayfield, Najee Harris, De'Ami Brown, Dylan Radunes. There's Rondale Moore at 38. Okay, you got Wyatt Davis. Freiermuth is at 40. He has Trey Lance as the 41st ranked player on his board. So this is what I say, like, his personal player rankings. Trey Lance is probably gone in the top seven picks. So this is his personal player rankings. So now that makes me want to go up and say, okay, well, who did Joe have in the top 10? His rankings are Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts. That's his top five. His next five, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Caleb Farley, Christian Darrisaw, and Michael Parsons. Okay? Now I'm trying to see where he has Mac Jones, because that would tell me an awful lot. And I'm looking, and I don't even see Mac Jones. Yeah, I don't even see Mac Jones listed in the top 50. So this is a very, very interesting list, and this is Joe Marino, and this is his opinion on these guys. So he has Mac Jones as the 77th best player in this draft. So it's just going to be real, real interesting, man. And it would also interest me, too, that if guys were actual GMs and they had their player rankings and their boards, and I wonder how many actual GMs have these boards set up this way, and then now they're going on their actual board and how they rank players, and what they use for their own rankings, and how those would translate to what they believe their predictive board and what they believe will happen on draft night, and how that would allow them to move and manipulate throughout the draft, because they do have two different boards. You have your value board for you and your club. You have an overall value board, and then some people have what they call a predictive board based on what they think may happen. So, interesting stuff here on a Monday. That's going to do it for here on a Monday on Locked On Jaguars. Please hit the subscribe button and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Continue to take care of each other. And we're going to see you here tomorrow, because that's what we do, because it's your team every day here on Locked On Jaguars. And remember, subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. This is Tony Wiggins signing off until another edition of Locked On Jaguars.